I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in to end your week, whether that is over the radio on 97.9 FM or 1360 AM or streaming us through chapelboro.com. We have a lot of local news to catch you up on, but later on in the hour, it'll be time for Stroman on Sports, talking with Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC professor, sports aficionado about many things in the athletics world. We begin, though, with news with our Triangle-based hospitals systems sharing some patient data to highlight how those unvaccinated against COVID-19 are the majority of patients being treated for the virus right now. UNC Health shared a chart using data from nearly all of its hospitals this week, saying 96% of COVID patients currently in the ICU are unvaccinated. More than 95% of patients on ventilators to help with breathing have not gotten their shots, while 89% of all COVID patients have not gotten their vaccinations. The numbers at Duke Health hospitals are similar, according to the News and Observer, who obtained this data. Duke reported 91% of COVID patients in their ICU are unvaccinated. COVID data as a whole in North Carolina is still trending in the wrong direction. In terms of hospitalizations, it is staying pretty steady at about 3,700 people. Governor Roy Cooper held a briefing yesterday and also shared thoughts on the unvaccinated population being the ones seen most being treated for the coronavirus. Statewide vaccination actually slowed this week pretty drastically and could ultimately be the lowest number of doses administered across the state in this entire calendar year. Cooper urged people to continue to either get their first shots or for friends and family to work and try and convince those people who haven't to do so. Now, on UNC campus, COVID-19 vaccinations are not required for the campus community, nor for those set to attend the Tar Heel football home opener this weekend. But the university did announce a plan to try and boost some vaccination rates. They're going to be offering vaccine shots outside of Keenan Stadium starting at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Anyone who gets their first shots Saturday will receive two free tickets to any upcoming home games this season, and that includes the games that are already sold out to the rest of the public. In some other health-related news, UNC and Duke were each awarded a major grant yesterday to aid Alzheimer's research. The two health systems will each establish research centers for the disease with the help of $15 million in funding for the next 5 years. I mentioned that upcoming UNC football game tomorrow, this weekend, also the 20th anniversary of the attacks on September 11th, 2001. Many events happening around our community to honor and remember those who were lost in that tragedy. 97.9 The Hill spoke with some first responders in Orange County to hear their stories from that day and how it has impacted emergency preparedness since. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has this report.
On September 11th, 2001, Kirby Saunders, the now director of Orange County Emergency Services, was a 19-year-old college student in Virginia. 48 hours after the attack, he and two classmates were standing outside a pile of rubble at Ground Zero in New York City.
It was not our intention to be there. We went to New York City to assist in any other way we could. At the time, we were EMTs and firefighters and just really had a calling to act and to help in any way we could.
Saunders said he spent about 7 days helping in the recovery effort. He said he dedicated his career after his experiences on 9/11, saying his true calling was emergency management.
So when I look back on 9/11, certainly it's a point of somber reflection and remembrance.
But Saunders said those memories are quickly replaced by memories of smiles and hugs from people in New York City during the recovery. He remembers the homemade posters and cards and meals provided to him and other first responders.
And just the complete gratitude and compassion and care that we all felt for one another as Americans, but also as human beings.
Hundreds of miles away from Saunders, Sheriff Charles Blackwood experienced 9/11 in Orange County. Blackwood was working in the southernmost tip of the county and visited a home in White Cross. While there, he watched footage on the morning news from the first plane crash into the World Trade Center. Blackwood said those attacks on September 11th taught many lessons.
The main lesson that I think the emergency services community learned is we're never prepared.
While he wasn't directly involved, Blackwood said that day affected everyone in the nation, exposing the vulnerability of the Emergency Services Department. He said law enforcement protocol has since changed to where every tragic event can be managed by whoever gets to the scene first.
Those firefighters taught us a tremendous lesson about owning your position. You're important, and you can take all the good things that come along with your position, but when the bad things happen, you've got to step forward, and they did that in an enormous way.
Saunders echoed that first responders and emergency service workers continue to learn lessons from the tragedy 20 years ago. He continues to be thankful for responders' service not only on 9/11, but every day.
For me, every anniversary of September 11th is an important occasion for me, not only to remember the sacrifices of the many responders, both professional and lay responders, in those buildings in on Flight 93 and in the Pentagon that day, but also to pay honor and tribute to the thousands of first responders that serve our communities each and every day and in many ways sacrifice every single day to serve others.
Several local events are planned to commemorate the 20th anniversary. On Friday, the Town of Chapel Hill Police and Fire Departments are holding a ceremony recognizing the 343 firefighter lives lost. 343 American flags will be placed on the Chapel Hill Fire Department Station 1 lawn. On Saturday morning, the UNC Army ROTC is holding its Memorial Stairs run in Keenan Stadium. The UNC football game versus Georgia State University will also honor first responders. For 97.9 The Hill, I am Ava Pukach.
And time now for a look at our sports news. We've got one UNC program in action right now, UNC field hockey taking on St. Joseph's on the road, and they are locked in a tight one. Your score is 2-2 in the fourth quarter of play. Both of Carolina's goals coming from Aaron Mattson, and both of them were to take the lead, but St. Joseph's has responded pretty quickly. They scored in the first quarter about 7 minutes after Mattson's first goal, and then scored in the second quarter about 5 minutes after her second, and then nothing hitting the back of the net for either team so far in the third and fourth quarters. So we're going to keep an eye on that. The Tar Heels sitting at 2-2 on the season, and they're going to continue this road trip on Sunday as they are set to play Drexel. Later tonight, Carolina men's soccer is set for a big game on the road. The number 4 Tar Heels are taking on the number 15 Pittsburgh Panthers. The Panthers were ranked 3rd in the country last week before dropping their first game of the season, so the Tar Heels will not be taking them lightly. That is for sure. That game set to begin at about 7 o'clock. The Tar Heels also not set to take the Georgia State Panthers lightly this weekend. We're just a little over 24 hours away from UNC football's home opener against Georgia State in Keenan Stadium, and Carolina is definitely looking to get a bad taste of last week's loss to Virginia Tech out of their mouths in front of their home crowd. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more.
After a difficult loss last week against Virginia Tech, the Tar Heels will return to Chapel Hill for their home opener Saturday night against Georgia State. The football program announced Tuesday that the game has officially sold out, the 6th of 7 home games this season to do so. It will also be the first time since November 2019 that the Tar Heels will play in front of a full Keenan Stadium. Head coach Mack Brown said he is looking forward to playing in front of 50,000 UNC fans once again, and also acknowledged the significance of the date. The game will be played on the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks.
It's a wonderful time to appreciate and say thank you to the first responders and honor them. I was a guy, like I said the other day, that I remember 9/11 vividly. It's part of my life. It will be forever, obviously, and it's something that all younger people need to go back and revisit and look at, because there were some real heroes that day.
The Tar Heels gave free tickets to Saturday's game to any and all interested first responders and their families. Tributes and commemorations for 9/11 will take place throughout the day. As for the game itself, Carolina and Georgia State have never before met on a football field. The Panthers, out of the Sun Belt Conference, finished the 2020 season with a 6-4 record, including a bowl game win over Western Kentucky. Brown said that rather than nitpick Georgia State's opening loss to Army this season, his staff are looking at how the Panthers finished last season.
But we go back to their last 3 games from last year. They were really good at the end of last year, and it's the same people. I think they've got about 15 seniors starting, and a lot of their super seniors came back, I think. So we're looking at who they were last year. They were good, and when you're good, you keep doing what you were doing.
Senior defensive lineman Ray Vohashek echoed Brown's sentiment, noting the Panthers' experienced offensive line. But he also said there are still things Carolina can do to give the Panthers problems.
They have a veteran offensive line. I believe all the guys are seniors across the board. Talented quarterback, a talented running back. I think they run a good offense. You know, they do a lot of things where they create cutback lanes and things like that, trying to get big plays. And I think there's some things that we can do to really dominate the line of scrimmage for us.
Sophomore wide receiver Josh Downs, who scored UNC's only touchdown against Virginia Tech, said the team has already put the loss to the Hokies behind them. Come Saturday night, he said the Tar Heel offense, held in check in week one, is ready to start living up to the preseason hype.
Nobody's hanging their heads. I mean, we have tremendous ability, tremendous potential in that room. I mean, it's going to show in these next few weeks. I mean, we've been balling out all fall camp. We balled out in the spring. So, I mean, I think we're going to bounce back harder than anybody in the nation. So that's what I can say about that.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And once again, ahead of that game tomorrow, UNC is going to be offering free COVID-19 vaccinations in front of Keenan Stadium. The tents are going to be set up between gates 5 and 6 with shots given out from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. That's plenty of time to get your shots before kickoff of the game at 7:30. And there are also ticket incentives for UNC football games. If you get your shots, head to GoHeels.com to learn more. One scored a visit from UNC last night. The number 4 women's soccer team had no problems with Florida on the road. Carolina won 7-1 with 5 different players getting into the scoring action. They moved to 7-0 so far on the season and will face number 17 Central Florida on Sunday. Alcohol consumption among first-year college students at UNC declined during the early stages of the pandemic. That's according to a recent study from the UNC Gillings School of Public Health. Researchers are hopeful that this finding could lead to a permanent change in college drinking culture as students return to campus for what should be their first full academic year in a little while. 97.9 The Hill's Ben Rappaport has more.
When students were forced to return home in the spring of 2020, many of them lost access to the things that define college life: nearby friends, being in the classroom, and alcohol. Researchers from the Carolina Population Center and the UNC School of Medicine found alcohol use by college students declined 8% during the first 4 months of the pandemic. Binge drinking also decreased by 11% during those months. Dean Blackburn is the Director of Student Wellness and Associate Dean of Students at UNC. He said this survey data shows a permanently healthier college environment is possible.
All of that gives us information to think about how we might craft a policy that supports the culture that we're striving for. And we're striving for a health-promoting, informed culture where students have enough information, skills, and resources to make the best choices for themselves around alcohol.
The survey found social factors such as social distancing and reduced friend interactions were the main reasons for the decline in alcohol consumption. But with students returning to campus, Blackburn said it's possible those trends may swing back to the other direction.
The previous study showed us that students had less access when they were at home. We know by the nature of some campus environments that they may have more access, or at least easier access, to alcohol at a college campus and maybe a little less supervision from family members.
UNC researchers do not expect the decreased alcohol consumption to continue as students return to campus. They suggest targeted interventions to students who have responded to stress with increased alcohol use. Increased alcohol use is costly to the student's physical health and the local economy. In 2017, the UNC Gillings School of Public Health found excessive drinking cost Orange County $111 million in emergency room visits, hospitalizations, rehab, crimes, car crashes, and deaths. 45% of those costs are falling on taxpayers. Eleanor Landis is the director of the Chapel Hill and Community Coalition, which works to reduce the harms associated with high-risk drinking. She believes preventing a resurgence in underage consumption starts with education.
there's a culture shift that can happen to create environments where everybody can flourish. I think we often think about this issue of binge drinking and the alcohol culture on college campuses and assume that it's just going to be that way, that it's just a phase of life, just a part of the college experience. But we know that there's harm that comes from it.
With three classes of UNC students never having completed a full year on campus, Landis said there is an opportunity to make this decline more permanent. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ben Rappaport.